Well, House Speaker Mike Johnson says that he will arrest any lawmakers who disrupt Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's address to Congress, which happens this week on Wednesday. Why would an elected representative plus an American citizen not be able to exercise their right to oppose a foreign leader? Is it now? Not only have we seen on the internet, we're not allowed to criticize Israel, we're not allowed to not support the Zionist government, we now cannot, we have to sit there with our eyes trained on him and listen to what he says. That's funny, right? So here we have lawmakers making sure that Netanyahu can check in on his charges in American Congress, and lawmakers bending over backwards to bend the knee. Now, Johnson is specifically warning Democrats like AOC and Liz Warren, who said that they do not support Netanyahu's address to Congress. Here is AOC saying this in no uncertain terms in June after Netanyahu attacked the Biden administration, saying that, hey, you can't hold up our weapons. You have to support Israel or else. I'm telling you this. AOC said this man should not be addressing Congress. He's a war criminal and he certainly has no regard for U.S. law, which is explicitly designed to prevent U.S. weapons from facilitating human rights abuses. I mean, yes, but we do that in Ukraine and in the Middle East all the time. So maybe she should look into those things as well. I'm glad she opposes this on principle. She might want to look into a little bit more case study. But she says his invitation should be revoked and it never should have been sent in the first place. Now, this was on the heels of Elizabeth Warren, Senator Elizabeth Warren, saying that she would boycott the speech and not even attend. Worth noting, she did attend Zelensky's addresses to Congress. So did AOC. I guess that's all nuance.
And she funded the weapons going to Netanyahu. So she's okay, as Thomas Massey called her out on, she's okay to fund and send billions of dollars in weapons to Israel. But she's going to put on a little show and not show up to her boss's speech, Netanyahu's speech.
I'll sign this in private, but I can't look you in the eye. I mean, okay, maybe your conscience is able to compartmentalize, but people are dying. And again, I see both men as similar, Zelensky and Netanyahu, both actively sabotaging peace that would save lives in order to further their political careers and their own agenda. Both given the chance to address Congress to make the case for their foreign wars and how American taxpayers should fund them. If either of these two studied the conflicts, meaning AOC or Liz Warren, they would have boycotted Zelensky too, not just Netanyahu. But okay. Now, the White House, this is kind of comical, but not, says they're pretty sure that Prime Minister Netanyahu will not attack President Biden when he comes to Congress this week. Look at this Politico headline. They expect him to play nice. Okay, here's what Jake Sullivan said, White House spokesperson, said, our expectation is that his speech will be one that doesn't look like 2015 when he last addressed Congress. It looks like what it should in the circumstances of today, and that is how the U.S. and Israel are trying together to face down the terrorist threat, to coordinate together on the regional challenges that both of our countries are facing. Okay, is the United States under threat from terrorists, from, Hezbollah? No, Hezbollah exists only to tamp down the Zionist pressure on Arabs in the region. From the Houthis? Well, only because we get ourselves involved. So, okay, but we're pretending that's a threat on us. Interesting. And Sullivan here, the quote says, whether that happens or not, I'll stay tuned. So you don't know exactly what he's going to say to us. You don't know why. We just know that when he says he wants to talk to Congress, he gets to. That's weird, right? Shouldn't we at least have a shared agenda? At least when Zelensky comes, we know he's coming to sell us the war in Ukraine. And we want that, and we want you to want that. Here he's saying, I'll stay tuned, basically clenching his butt cheeks that we don't get embarrassed by this warmonger. Okay, later he says, you know, but we think that he's on board with our peace plan. This quote from Sullivan, we're not going to rest until we have this thing in place, and sooner rather than later. What he's saying is that he wants a ceasefire. The United States wants that, or at least they say they do.
They pretend to.
Netanyahu does not. He does not want that. And
no, if he gets a ceasefire, he gets thrown out of office. I mean, all you need to do is look at the tens of thousands of Israelis protesting his ouster, and they don't want him in Israel.
Right.
So they do not want him, and the Western media will not show you those videos and those pictures, of course.
Right, but he has signaled for near on 40 years that what he wants is full control of that territory and full control of Gaza, the West Bank, and other Palestinian locations. Netanyahu has repeatedly said that at the very least, Israel will control Gaza and that they want to decrease the population there from 2 million Arabs to 200,000. In fact, in December, Israeli outlets outright said that Netanyahu, what he wants is to work with the U.S. to lure the Arab population out of Gaza and into refugee settlements in Egypt, Iraq, Yemen, and Turkey. So is this possibly what he's going to make the case to us? Is that, hey, I know you care about civilians, specifically of Arab descent, so let's just put them somewhere. You guys, let's just build them some camps. And then, you know, everybody wins. We get Gaza. They go somewhere else. You feel good about yourselves. That's what he's saying. Last week, Netanyahu actually went to Gaza himself in southern Rafah. Here's some images of that. So does this look like a guy who wants to leave the region, who wants a withdrawal of Israeli troops? Because the U.S. peace plan says that Israel has to leave Gaza altogether. But yet now their leader is visiting this region. It does not look to me like he has any intentions of standing down. So why are U.S. lawmakers welcoming him in when he is sabotaging a peace plan that they say that they want? Clearly, it seems to me they're scared of him and standing up to him, but they want to pretend that they have some control. They don't. Now, House Speaker Johnson assured a Jewish advocacy group over the weekend that he'd keep the natives in check for Netanyahu's visit. Here's what he said to the Republican National Convention, or to the Republican Jewish Coalition. I want you to know there's a number of Democrats in the House who've said they're going to boycott the event, and then there are others who are going to protest. Listen, we're going to have some extra sergeants at arms on the floor, and if anyone gets it out of hand, the Speaker of the House will bang the gavel. We're going to arrest people if we have to do it. We're going to get the message out.
We're going to arrest members of Congress who speak out against a foreign warmonger speaking in front of Congress. I mean, literally. So you could have represented. There's only a handful of members of Congress who aren't paid for by the Jewish lobby in the United States. Just a handful. You can count them on like one hand, really. Like Thomas Massie being one of them. So if he speaks out against it, he could be arrested by the Speaker of the House for speaking out against a foreign leader speaking in front of him.
So what is his option for a peaceful protest, or AOC for that matter? If you support her speaking out against the war in Gaza, what does she do? You don't want her to be arrested. Same with Liz Warren. Yes, I've pointed out that these chicks have a conflict in their conscience, obviously, but they should have a right to protest a foreign leader coming to our country and selling their war. So what can they do then, now that the House Speaker has said, I mean, he has said, look, Israel's our priority, Ukraine is our priority, and we also want the border, but that's not how he acts. So again, this is funny, right? It's funny to have our lawmakers creating these barriers for Israel. So funny.
Yeah, it's hilarious, and it's absolutely hypocritical, and they're lying right to your faces. I mean, they're lying right to your faces. And how much money has Speaker Johnson taken from the Israel lobby? No other country controls the United States more than Israel does. Absolutely the case. And we know that all of these members of Congress have taken huge sums of money from AIPAC and other sources. That is absolutely unequivocal. And we now know that's 100% accurate. So I would love to know how much Speaker Johnson has taken from these guys.
Yeah.
It's deeply disturbing.
And why he's behaving like this.
Nancy Dunks in our chat says, disappointed in the cool tone towards Netanyahu. Most American Jews hold him in high regard, even as the homegrown far left press and politicos go after him. Okay. Thank you for that. Cool tone.
Okay. Then what have I missed about Netanyahu that makes him a peaceful peaceful person who, in fact, has not signaled over and over again that he will take the territory away from Gaza? So tell me where to look for that. I'm happy to.
But even beyond that, forget just a second. Like, why the hell is Zelensky and Netanyahu flying into our United States Congress in a joint session of Congress where they have to go in there and glad hand and stand up and applaud? We had a Ukrainian flag hanging over the lectern that Nancy Pelosi waved and handed out and flown. We had an Israeli flag flying inside the United States Congress. Why is that happening in the United States Congress? I don't know if you know this, but we are a different country. The United States of America is a different country. I know we pretend to be independent from Israel, but we're really not. And you're seeing it in action in the United States Congress right now. So the cool tone is about our Congress being bought and sold by a foreign government. That's the cool tone that you're hearing from me.
Right. And the special privileges that our lawmakers create in order to, not be able to protest Israel, such as the anti-BDS law. That was written, but thankfully never passed. Why are we not allowed to criticize Israel, but we can criticize everybody else? Why are these barriers put up against actual discussion around Netanyahu? Why do we look the other way when one leader clearly allows attacks on civilians? Just why, right? This is not a pro-Hamas. These are interesting questions.
And the timing is absolutely suspect, right?
Yeah, and also, why are we, a country in massive debt, giving money to a country that has a surplus? They don't need our money. So it's just like, we're just doing it because what?
Yes, yeah. Israel has a budget surplus. Yes, we are $35 trillion in debt. They also have a space force. They have a space agency, and we're funneling billions of dollars to them. I mean, we should all demand that that doesn't happen. You can love Israel all you want, but we need to take care of ourselves first. The United States is crumbling right now. I think the timing of all of this is fascinating to see President Biden in this whole shift right now. The same week that this is happening, Netanyahu is flying in basically to have meetings.
Right.
You know, who am I? Who's going to be my benefactors? I got to make sure my members of Congress are all in line, make sure the money is going to still flow to my country.
I mean, when we read about this, when we were first told he would come to Congress, I thought, ooh, that's going to be costly to Biden. But now, is there no Biden to pay the consequences for this? Will this actually fall to Kamala Harris? Who knows, right? We can't predict anything at this point.
Well, and I also get frustrated, before we move on, I also get frustrated because you see, like, the Republicans are wearing their U.S. flag and their Israeli flag on their lapels. The Democrats have their flag and the Ukraine flag. And some it's like we are the United States. It's like, why are we giving our money that we don't have to all these other countries to fund war? It's like this whole America first. I mean, how can you like be against that idea of America first? Because we've been putting all these other countries first for so long. We need to put ourselves first, or we're gonna crash.
Right. I'll tell you how this movement started during World War II, when the isolationists, who did not want to be dragged into a second war after World War I, were framed as Nazis, were framed as Hitler supporters, right. And so all along, anyone who's isolationist, I mean, that's not even a word anymore. We don't even use that as a value anymore. Like, let's keep our eyes on our own paper.
Well, and I want to point out, too, it's not isolationist. It's non-interventionist. That's what they are. Because isolationism just wants, you don't want to trade or anything with anyone. But like Ron Paul was always accused of being that. But it's more a non-interventionist, like you don't want to intervene in the workings of other countries, but you still want to trade with them.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, let's bring back that as a virtue and see how the media attacks people with that virtue.